When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This is probably the craziest incident of my life till now, but I don't think I will ever face something more bizarre than this one. I was working my usual night shifts in KFC on a Thursday. Being bored and not having any customers in the last hour, I went out to smoke. It was 2 o'clock at night. The empty highway stood in front of my eyes like a long forgotten trail. I must have taken a few drags when I heard the entrance doorbell ring. Realizing a customer had arrived, I quickly got in from the back door and headed straight to the counter. Entering the restaurant, I got shocked to see the customer who had just come in. A woman in her late 30s was standing next to the counter with a baby wrapped in her arm. Her physical appearance was so weird that I completely ignored her baby and kept looking at her. She wasn't anything like those new moms. Her clothes were so dirty that one could barely guess their actual color. She seemed like a woman who had been living on the streets for a while. As I was staring at her too widely, she understood what was going on inside my head and said, "Are you going to take my order?" Realizing how insulting I had been, I immediately made up for my behavior and politely said, "Welcome to KFC, ma'am. What would you like to order?"
"That's better.
Please accept my apology."
"Okay. I will have a big fried chicken bucket with fries and a Pepsi to go."
"Okay, ma'am. Please take your seat." She slowly walked to the table nearby and sat down, holding her baby in her arms. Realizing the baby was sleeping, I tried to be as quiet as possible. I went to the kitchen and asked our night chef to start this order. Coming back, I saw the woman staring at her baby with an affectionate smile. The smile reminded me of my mom when she used to caress my cheek before tucking me into bed. No one in this world can love you more than your mother. And seeing this woman, I couldn't help but feel a little emotional. She was kissing the baby and humming a lullaby while swinging it slowly in her arms. I felt terrible for the poor woman. Maybe she's going through a rough patch in her life, but unlike every other mom, she too wants to give her child the best. I kept watching her with the corner of my eye. It was lovely to see her caring for her baby. After 10 minutes, her food came. I placed it on a tray and started walking to her table. Seeing me approaching her, she became conscious and hugged her baby even closer to her chest. I wanted to take a sneak peek of her cute baby, but I understood she was protective of it. Also, my behavior might have scared her off a bit, so her reaction was understandable. "Here's your food, ma'am. Please enjoy and let me know if you need anything more." Holding my curiosity, I returned to the counter and gave her space to enjoy her food. Her bony structure does incline that she hasn't eaten for a while, so I didn't want to disturb her anymore. Seeing the giant bucket of chicken, her eyes dazzled in joy. She started gobbling her food. She grabbed a chicken leg and tore a huge chunk of meat. I could hear her smacking and making chomping noises as she ate so loudly. After finishing 3 chicken legs in a blink of an eye, she looked at her baby and said,
"Look who's finally awake. Did I wake you up? Well, you can't eat KFC chicken quietly."
"No, you can't eat them. You're not old enough. I promise, when you grow up, I'll bring you here
and then you can eat as many fried chickens as you want. I adored her way of talking to her baby, but I don't know why one thing kept hammering in my mind. When I went to deliver her order, a strong smell of bleach came from her. Her clothes don't seem like they've been washed in years, so I was a bit confused why she smelled like bleach all of a sudden. While I was thinking all this, the woman talked to her baby like before. Yes, Dad will see us soon. Till then, we have to be a good girl and listen to what Mommy says, okay? Oh, then it's a sweet little girl. Knowing this, I finally decided that when she would come up to the counter to pay, I would ask her to let me take the baby and play with her once. I also decided to give her some cash to help her and her baby. Being a woman, I'm very well aware of the hardships of a mother, so I wanted to help this woman in my small way. The fact that the father of this baby left his wife and kid in this situation did trigger me, and I felt angry at that man. Things were going fantastic so far, until something creepy happened. The woman suddenly started to shush the child, saying, "No, don't cry. Mommy's here. Don't cry, Emma. You know if you cry, I will cry too. Come on, my angel, don't cry." She got up from her seat and started to swing her baby back and forth like parents do to stop their baby from crying. Except in this case, her baby wasn't crying at all. This hit me hard as I realized that I hadn't heard the baby make a single sound since she had been here. Is this woman insane? If not, then what the hell is wrong with her? As soon as the thought struck in my mind, I said in a fumbling voice, ma'am? Your baby is not crying. What do you mean she's not crying? Don't you hear her weeping? What are you saying? There's no other sound except both of our voices. How the hell would you know? You're too young, and you certainly don't look like a mother. Leave my baby and me alone. Since I arrived here, I've seen you staring at my baby. There's no way I'm letting you get close to her. No, ma'am. I'm just trying to help you. If you... Shut up! Can't you see your voice is making her cry even louder? But your baby is not crying. She completely ignored me and started to shush her baby like before, as if it was crying. Feeling utterly confused and messed up in this entire situation, I started calling Albert, our night chef, to come out. Hearing my voice, he rushed out of the kitchen, and I explained to him the entire situation while pointing at this woman. The woman wasn't even looking at us anymore. She was just humming a lullaby and swinging her baby back and forth like Albert and I weren't even there. Not able to take the suspense anymore, we walked up to her and looked into her arms. What I saw made my skin crawl. There indeed was a baby, but it wasn't alive. Instead, it was the corpse of a dead baby with a disfigured face that had started to rot. No doubt this child had died long back, and the bleach I smelt was coming from it. By the rules of natural human life, the corpse had begun to decompose, resulting in maggots and other bacteria taking onto it. Maybe to drive them away, this woman sprinkled bleach on her baby's corpse. When the cops came and took her to the hospital, I was utterly shattered. Her senses kicked in when the paramedics explained to her how her baby was no more, and she was crying like hell. It was later revealed that this woman was homeless when a man randomly picked her up from the street, offering her money in exchange for intercourse. The man probably paid her and left, but unfortunately she became pregnant under her challenging circumstances. Even though she gave birth to a healthy baby girl, being addicted to drugs and living a degrading lifestyle, she failed to care for her. The trauma of losing her baby hit her so hard that she started to pretend that it was alive and carried the corpse in her arms wherever she went. The fact that she got some money somehow and came to KFC for food with a dead child in her arms can be the last thing to expect from any sane person. It breaks my heart that no one even bothered to help her, or at least show interest in her. I am sharing this story to reach out to the guy who slept with her without using protection and never cared to check back on her. So if you're watching this, jackass, I want to tell you out loud that just because she was homeless and messed up, your disgusting behavior can never be justified. You should have at least been a man and checked on her. I hope you burn in hell. The KFC down the block from my apartment had the creepiest statue of Colonel Sanders I've ever seen. It stood in the corner of the dining room, at least 8 feet tall, looming over customers as they scarfed down chicken and mashed potatoes. No one ever sat at the table closest to the statue. There was just a bad vibe the closer you got to the thing. Cold spots, weird smells, a sense that you were being watched. The creepy statue didn't stop me from eating at the KFC at least twice a week, but it did dampen the experience. It was eerie how lifelike the sculpture looked. The perfect white hair and goatee, the wrinkles under the eyes, the ivory pale suit, and just a peak of pink tongue inside its square teeth. You half expected the giant thing to clear its throat at any moment. I started working part-time at that KFC one winter to try to save up extra for gifts, though that's when I swore off fast food for good. Things weren't too bad until they moved me to the night shift about a month into my time at the restaurant. If the Colonel Sanders statue was creepy during the day, it was downright freaky at night. The face always seemed a little different to me each time I glanced at it, the eyes a bit colder. I started taking pictures of the statue each night to check if I was crazy, if it was really changing. However, no matter the angle or lighting, the pic always turned out blurry on my phone. I didn't much enjoy going into work that winter, but I managed to push through it because the pay kept going up. Even after the holidays, I decided to stay on since I was now making enough to actually save up money for the first time in my life. Then, one night in January, I made a terrible mistake. I offered to close the KFC on my own after the night shift. Mandy was supposed to help me. She's a cute redhead that started around the same time as I did. But she was feeling ill, so I offered to handle closing alone. I was trying to score some points with her before working up the courage to ask her on a date. After that awful night, I never saw Mandy again. Once the last customers were gone, I began my closing process. I locked the doors, I turned off the main lights, then I pulled out a Bluetooth speaker, placed it on the table in the dining room, and started to mop up while jamming to some classic rock. I wiped down all the surfaces except that table near the Sanders statue. Again, nobody sat there, so it was always pristine. We had an official policy to only ever close with two or more staff on site. The official reason was safety and accountability. But as the minutes ticked by, I felt like someone was moving around the restaurant, just out of my sight. I was about to start cleaning the bathrooms when I heard a commotion in the kitchen. Mandy? I called out, holding my mop up for self-defense, I guess. There was a scraping sound followed by silence. I hopped over the counter, still holding onto the mop like it was a club. Something had knocked over the warming station in the back of the kitchen. It's a series of metal shelves and heat lamps to keep food hot. It was heavy, too. Far too heavy for a draft or rats. Yeah, we had rats. To displace. I leaned the mop against the wall and pushed the warming station back into position. When I turned back towards the dining room, I yelped. The Colonel Sanders statue had moved while I wasn't looking. It hadn't shifted much, just a slight turn of the head, but it was unmistakably different than it was moments before. His eyes were wider, almost black in the low light, and his smile was sharper than before. Wider. I'm imagining this, I said out loud, clutching the mop so hard my knuckles popped. The statue didn't respond. I mean, of course it didn't. It was a friggin' statue after all. Nothing but plaster and paint. Still, I decided to rush through the bathroom cleaning and risk getting reprimand from my supervisor in my next shift. Hey, are you here alone? A raspy voice asked me from further back in the kitchen. I froze. Mandy? I asked again, still not turning to look. No. Sorry. Not Mandy. The voice was male with a slight accent I couldn't place. Swallowing hard, I turned to look for the source. There was something wrong with the light in the back of the kitchen. Everything was cast in a deep, unnatural shade. I saw a figure within the gloom. A shadow darker than the shadows around it, shaped like a man.
Who are you?
I asked. I couldn't see its face, but I had the impression the shadow smiled. I was many things. A soldier, a chef, a business owner, human. Now what I am is here with you. Did you say that you were alone? Or did I imagine that?
My mouth was dry. I was having a hard time speaking. There was a loud creak from behind me in the dining room. Then another. I glanced back quickly, not wanting to take my eyes off the shadow in the kitchen for too long. The Colonel Sanders statue had moved again. Now it was standing in the middle of the dining room, partially hunched over like it was trying to sneak, or getting ready to leap.
Do you know why I started calling these places KFC?
The shadow asked.
I turned back to find that it was closer to me too. The light in all of the kitchen was dim now, and growing darker by the minute. I felt trapped between two hungry things, just waiting for me to run so they could chase me. All I could do was stall for time. KFC, it means Kentucky Fried. No!
The shadow man growled.
That's what they made me call it. But KFC originally stood for the kind of crowd I wanted to bring into my restaurants. Killer's favorite chicken.
There was a creak again from behind me. I knew the statue was moving in the dining room. There was the sound of heavy dragging, tables being pushed out of the way. I wanted to turn and look, but I didn't want to put my back to the shadow in the kitchen. At any moment, I expected to feel a giant plaster hand reach around to the back of my neck and squeeze. A bell rang softly. Suddenly, the light was back to normal in the kitchen.
Nick, a familiar voice called out. Why are you standing behind the counter holding up a mop?
It was Mandy. She'd come in from the front door, unlocking it with her staff key. The bell was above that door and sounded any time a customer came in. I put the mop down and leaned against the counter. There was no sign of that shadow thing in the kitchen. When I looked over to the dining room, I saw that the Colonel Sanders statue was back in its usual corner, exactly how it was at the start of my shift.
Jeez, Nick, you look awful, Mandy said, walking towards me. What are you doing here?
I felt guilty asking you to close up alone. I figured I would help you finish up. Nick? Nick, are you okay? You look like you're going to throw up.
Without saying a word, I hopped over the counter, took Mandy's hand, and walked us both out of the KFC without locking up. Just as the front door was closing, I heard another creak, as if some massive plaster figure was shifting to watch us leave. That was the last time I stepped foot in a KFC or any other restaurant. I quit the next morning, calling my manager to ensure that she knew it was my fault the place wasn't closed properly. I didn't want Mandy to get in trouble, though I did beg her to find somewhere else to work. She promised she'd think about it. I never did work up the nerve to ask her out. I ended my lease early and moved out of the city within a month. I've got a new place now, smaller but comfortable enough. I don't leave my apartment much these days. I can work from home, and I get all my food delivered. The rare times I step outside for a walk, well, I walk fast. Maybe it's my imagination, but sometimes it feels like something is out there, looking for me, just out of sight. When I sleep, which isn't often, I dream of creaking sounds and shadows where they shouldn't be.